Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord this morning? Let's share our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, we've been talking about fragrances and how God fills us. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how God fills us, and he wants to fill us with himself. And God has a fragrance. We were at Potomac Heights last Sunday, and we were just talking about the goodness of God and starting to introduce what we were talking about last Sunday and share it with them. And this one lady says, I've got a question, because they interrupt me all the time there. And we just get into free-flowing discussion a lot of times. And I have no idea whether I'm going to get through the message, so you just have to hit the highlights. And she says, sometimes when I sit in my chair and I'm praying, a fragrance comes. Is that maybe God? And because of you and because of other people, it's like, yes, it is God. She says, it only comes for a second or two. It's not a long-lasting thing, but she says, it is so precious and so sweet. And when you think about that, you know, God does have a fragrance. There's a fragrance in his throne room, but that fragrance, because of God, of who he is in us. And God wants that fragrance to fill our lives. Now, a fragrance, you know, when you get close to somebody, you can smell a fragrance a lot of times. But this fragrance is one that when you enter the room, people can smell you. People can notice that you're there. This is the kind of fragrance that God wants in our lives, that it fills every area of our life, not just our immediate person, but it saturates, it fills everything. Now, excuse me, we've been talking about Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, and this is part of the problem that the church has, is so many of us, we've lost the fragrance. We don't smell like God anymore. We've gotten so accustomed to things as normal that we don't pursue the things of God. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, as he writes to the Galatians, the whole book is about this, but he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? The question, who has bewitched you? Who has convinced you that you don't have a good odor of God? Who has convinced you that God doesn't live on the inside of you? Who has convinced you that you're now beginning to believe other things than what you believed when you first came to the Lord? One of the amazing scriptures is out of Revelation. He says to the church, I think it's Laodicea, he says, return to your first love. And so often as we grow in the Lord, we forget about our first love. We forget about the spontaneity. We forget about the flavor that God filled our life with, the odor, the fragrance that God changed us with. And we just kind of get on with normal life, and you would just do what you have to do, and we forget the fragrance of God within us. And that is one of the signs of being bewitched, that we've lost that capacity, we've lost that concept that God is with us. And that's kind of what we're focusing on the last 3 weeks, actually, in Colossians chapter 1, because this is part of the fragrance. This is just so cool. We're going to give you lots of verses on this, but Colossians 1, 21 to 23, he says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind. In your mind. Now, we spent a lot of time on that last week, so I'll just review it. But in our mind is where the difficulty is, in our thinking. And if we don't think right, you're bewitched. If you're not thinking according to the power of God that dwells within us, you're being bewitched. Now, bewitched simply, it's a word for witchcraft, and it means you're believing something other than what God has said. You're believing the temporary. You're believing the transitional. You're believing the negative. You're believing in other things than God. He said, well, I believe in God. I would hope every Christian thinks we do believe in God. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of wrong believing in the church. There's a lot of wrong believing in the lives of Christians. And you don't even know about it till someone points it out to you and shows you there's a better way. I think there's a TV show or something, a Christian ministry program. There's a better way. You know, there's something here that we don't know. So he says, we were once alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Think about that. We were enemies, but God has reconciled us. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed, now, let's stay on 22. I could preach this week after week after week, I think, in different so many different ways. But God has reconciled us through the death of Jesus Christ. Now, he reconciled you to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. See, when you begin to see how God sees you rather than how you see yourself, it'll change your perspective. In his sight, God sees you as holy. In his sight, God sees you as blameless. In his sight, he sees you as above reproach. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that awesome? He said, well, I don't feel that way. Well, that's why your feelings lie. Because if you ever wonder about what God thinks about you, oh, God must be really mad at me. No, he's not mad at you. He took that wrath out on Jesus. He's not angry with you. He's not upset with you. He just wants you to come home. You know, come home, Bill Bailey, come home. He just wants you to come home. You just get in the program, get right with God. You see, we think, well, but we think all these things in our mind and it alienates us because we're thinking wrong. And if you begin to think like God, he just wants you to come home because in Jesus he's made you holy, he's made you blameless, and he's made you above reproach in his sight. So that's how God sees us. In verse 23 it says, there's that big word again. Isn't it amazing what a small word can do? If indeed you continue in the faith. Continue means to abide. If you abide in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. The thing is, you've got to hold on to it. See, even though God sees you as holy, blameless, without reproach, you by faith have to hold on to that. Now, why? Because there's a thief. And the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's going to rob you. He's going to rob you through situations. He's going to rob you through vain thinking. Vain thinking is just useless, fruitless thinking. He's going to rob those things from you as to how God sees you. Because how you see yourself is often how we think God sees us. Aren't you glad he sees us differently? You know, we look at ourselves, I'm fat. God looks at you, you're beautiful. You look at yourself, I am so stupid. God says, oh, but you have the mind of Christ. I mean, every objection you have is not how God sees you. Amen? He sees you through the eyes of Jesus. He sees you as redeemed. Amen? And this is the thing we've got to renew our mind to, but it's not just a different way of thinking, it's accepting God's truth as truth. It's accepting his ways over the ways of the world. Amen? See, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot renew your thinking to the thinking of God unless you do it through God. You can't just go around, I am good, I am good, I am good, I am good, I am good. No, you're still bad. It's not just repeating. It's in the relationship with the Father. In his sight, I am good. In his sight, I am righteous. In his sight, I am all the things that God said I am. Now, in my sight, oh man, I fall way short. You know, I come up short every single time. But I'm not looking at me by what I see. I'm learning to look at me through what God sees. And his word is renewing me moment by moment in that relationship. Amen. In John 5:24, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word. See, you've got to hear first. You've got to hear what God is saying. And so often, even in preaching, we don't hear what God is saying because we're so busy listening to ourselves. When the preacher says, you are forgiven, and we think, how could I be forgiven? obviously the pastor doesn't know what I just did last night. No, the Word of God says you're forgiven. See, you're busy listening to you. It's like when you're in a healing line, your sickness is crying out so loud you cannot hear the things of God saying, my child, you are healed. Because you're listening to you. You're bewitched. Yeah. Well, I'm not bewitched. Yes, you are. If you're thinking the way of the world, you're bewitched. You're under an influence that is not God. Yes. Did you hear that? You're hearing and under an influence that is not of the of our Heavenly Father. And people think that, and we think, well, this is the truth. No, that's the deception. The scripture says it, Robert Lairdon says it like this, but the scripture says, truth will outlive a lie. You know, your body is temporary. Your surroundings, your situation are temporary. They will pass away. This is not permanent. This is not the way it's always going to be. But in the spirit, oh, now that's real. See, that's where we need to learn how to live, is in the realm of the Spirit. In the Spirit, I am healed. In the Spirit, I am healthy. In the Spirit, I have the mind of Christ. In the Spirit, I overcome all things according to the power that works within me, which belongs to Jesus Christ. I'm just using His power. It's not my power. It's His power in me. But if I argue against His work in me, I am bewitched because I'm believing a different source other than God. Can you understand some of this? He says, he who hears my word and believes in Him. I've got to hear the word of God. I've got to hear what God has to say. I've got to believe it. That means to trust in, to rely upon, to lean on. That means I've got to put everything on it. Now, I can lean on this pulpit and it'll support me. But I can scientifically tell you that thing doesn't even exist. You say, oh, that's an example of faith. Well, to some degree, it's really not faith because in this world it is real. But I can still prove to you it isn't, scientifically. But my faith is I lean on it. In the same way, we've got to understand God is what is real. Everything else is passing away. And I'm going to lean on that which is real. I'm going to lean on that which doesn't change. The one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. He doesn't, He is the same. I change, I'm up and down. Debbie will tell you I have good moods once in a while, and I have bad moods, okay? I still fight my moods. I go through mood swings. I go through all this stuff. But praise God, God doesn't have mood swings. You know, I mean, He doesn't get up in the morning, and He doesn't wake up anyway because He never slumbers. But if He were to wake up, He doesn't say, oh, God, what's this day going to be like? You know, no, He knows what it's going to be. Light. It's going to be glory. It's going to be great. It's going to be good. Amen. You need to wake up with that attitude. Oh, what is today going to bring? It's going to be a good day. Why? Because you're in God. I'm going to lean on Him because He doesn't change. But if I trust my feelings, my emotions, oh man, I'm already goofed up. So He says, you got to hear my word and believe in Him who sent me. And He says, if you do those things, you have everlasting life. Now that literally means you have Zoe life that will never end. There's no beginning, there's no end to it, but you have the same kind of life as God possesses. I become an eternal being living in Christ, consumed in Him. I like it in Colossians, it says, my life is hid in Christ. I like that because when I was young, I used to play hide and seek, and we all did this, but I know you won't admit it, but we played hide and seek, and I thought, if I stand in the open, because when you hide, you still close your eyes. Now think about it. A lot of times when you hid, you closed your eyes. And so I would think that if I stand in the open and close my eyes, the same thing works, right? And it doesn't. But you think about it, when you hid as a kid playing hide and seek, you'd close your eyes, you're in a corner, you're in a box, you're hidden from view as much as you know, and you still close your eyes because your belief is, if I can't see them, they can't see me. And you would open your eyes to see if anybody's coming. And I don't know if this fear ever went through you, but sometimes I thought, they're not looking for me. That's a scary feeling. You know, I'm playing hide and seek and they all went home. This is just a thing to get rid of me. Fortunately, someone was always looking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he said, but I have everlasting life. I don't have to hide. I am hid in Christ. And I can open my eyes. And when I see this of being hidden in Christ, I open my eyes and I see this protective cover around me. And the devil's outside of it. And he's going, where's Gordon? Where's Gordon? Where's Gordon? And I'm thinking, he can't see me. But I can see him. I know what he's up to, but he can't find me. Why? Because I'm hid in Christ. See, I have everlasting life, a life that will never fade, a life that will never pass away, a life that never changes. There's no ups or downs. It is consistent in God. Amen. It's everlasting life, a life that is eternal, that will not pass or fade away. Amen. And get this, he says, he has sent me everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Now, most Christians, we think being passing from death into life is when we die physically. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about when you put in the grave. I know Jesus said in me, I'm the life and the resurrection. If any man die and be in me, he shall not die, he shall live again. I know that, but this isn't what he's talking about here. He's talking about I have passed from death to life. I have passed from an attitude of death, the bewitchment of death, into life, Zoe. Life that is without end. I've passed over. It's interesting. I just thought about this. I think it's Hebrew, isn't it? It means crossed over. And when they called them Hebrews when they left Egypt because they crossed over. You're Hebrew because you've crossed over from death into life. See, we've abandoned the way of death. Let me put it like this. We're supposed to have abandoned the way of death and come into the way of life. But because the things of this world weigh on us, we see the death bigger than the life. And so we're always looking ahead to, well, when I die, when I lay my burden down, in that day soon to come, I'll awake in glory. Well, you're already in glory. Now think about this. You're already in glory. It's like, this is it? No, this is the beginning of it. But the more you see of that, the more you understand. I have crossed over. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. See, I'm born again. I'm not the old man. The old man has died. The old man has passed away. That man has ceased to exist. And yet we... There's no golfing story about a guy playing golf. And he said, how was your golf? I said, oh, it was a hard day. I was playing with Joe, and Joe had a heart attack and died on the course. Oh, that must have been horrible. Yeah, it was. It's hit the ball, drag Joe, hit the ball, drag Joe. You know, and we're kind of like that. We're still dragging the old man around. We won't let go of him. Even though we've crossed over from death into life, we're still hanging on to the old guy, and we're still dragging him around. Well, you know, it's one trip down to the church, got to drag Joe. It's I go over here, got to drag Joe. Well, we're in praise and worship. I mean, we had one woman come to church one time, and she in praise and worship, and oh, she said it was so good, and she went out and came back next week, and she said, I want to tell you something. She says, God is with you when you are in this place, and God will meet your needs. But when you leave that church, God doesn't go with you. You could just meet anything. It's the devil's waiting for you. As soon as you leave the church, he's going to jump on you. Wow. Say, no, he's not. If you don't let him. I rebuked her. I mean, I can't let that go. I said, no, honey, God didn't leave you. You know, greater is he that is with. God doesn't say, I'm with you in church service, but once you leave, well, you're kind of on your own, and best wishes to you. Oh, hallelujah, Charlie, he doesn't leave us. He doesn't hide from us. He is with us every moment of the day. And see, we've got to renew our mind, because that's where we're alienated. That's where we're bewitched, is in our understanding. I've crossed over. It is no longer I who live, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Hallelujah. It says, well, if you're not living by faith, you're bewitched. If you're not believing God's word, you're bewitched. Now, we said last week, well, how do I get out of it? Believe in Jesus. That's how you get out of it. How do I cross from death into life? I don't know how, but I know if you believe in Jesus, you do. I don't understand the process of it. I can go through the theology. I can go through the history. Jesus went into hell, died on the cross. He took triumph over the enemy, prayed to them all through it, and came back and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto him. I don't really understand all that. I just accept it. But I just don't understand how this works. Well, just put it this way. It's in the mind of God, and you just have to accept it. Because you... You that can't put three, we were at a friend's house the other day, and he gave us this puzzle. It had four pieces to it, and he said, it makes a pyramid. And we're putting it all together. I don't see no pyramid in this. You can't put the pieces together. God can. He designed it. He knows how to work it. That's why you've got to lean on Him. If you continue to abide in what you've learned, if you continue to believe what brought you to Christ to start with, if we stay in that. Now, you can die and go to heaven and not be believing some of these things, but why miss out? Why miss it? Why, when you have everything there to get, why do we want to miss it? It's because we're bewitched. We're overcome by the things of this world, and our eyes are not on God. Amen? Oh, man, this is so good. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll see if we can go through this. Debbie's been hitting all around this in Sunday school, and I just keep praying that God don't let her preach my message. She's been so close, but Ephesians chapter 1, this is one of my, everything I preach on is my favorite Bible verse, but this is one of my favorite pieces of scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Now, I'm going to read this all the way through and then come back and dissect it, because if I don't, we'll never get all the way through it. I started this at a pastor's conference in Africa one time, and I got through about verses 3 and 4, and I had to stop there. And all the pastors were saying, are you going to come back tomorrow and finish it up? I said, well, I hope to. Well, we came back the next day, but the pastor in charge of the mission trip decided he wanted somebody else to preach that morning, so I never got to continue it. But all the pastors were saying, we've never heard this before. You need to come back. We want to hear more of this and more of this. So this brings back a lot of memories to me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. We just read those verses, didn't we? Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and all prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Woo! Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And then Paul begins to pray after this. I hope this sinks in. You know, I hope you get the wisdom. I hope you get the knowledge, the understanding that passes knowledge, he says, that passes just the factual part of this. Now, let me go back and look at this, because this is so awesome. These are the things that are true that will unbewitch you, that'll get you in the right thinking, will change your mindset and change your surroundings. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. First of all, where are the blessings? They're in heaven. Who is in heaven? Now, I'm not trying to look at heaven as a place, but who is in heaven? God. So all these blessings are in God, right? And he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that he has. Now, let me ask you, what is excluded from that? Give me a list of things that are not included. Some of you are looking like, what? Right, because everything is included. Every blessing. Any blessing you can think of is included in that. Amen? Because God is the blesser. All blessings come from him. So every good thing, the Bible tells us, every good thing comes from God. So you say, well, what? Some people say, well, I don't know if God will bless you in that area. He just said he did. Say this with me. I am blessed. For some people, that's hard to say. It's hard to just say, I am blessed. I am the blessed one. I am blessed. It's kind of like, well, you have the mind of Christ. So we need to say, I have the mind of Christ. But for some people, it's like, well, I don't think I have the mind of Christ. Christ doesn't think like this. But you have the mind of Christ. Whether you use it or not is a different matter. Whether you walk in the blessings or not is a different matter. But you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, you can try to talk yourself out of it, but then you're bewitched. You know, it's like the guy on the street. I'm full of jokes this morning. The guy on the street corner at night is under a street light, and he's looking over the ground. And the guy comes up to him and says, well, what are you looking for? He said, well, I lost a $50 gold piece, and I'm hunting for it. And they're looking. They're both scouring the ground. He said, man, I don't see it anywhere. Where were you when I lost it? He said, I was down there, down the street. He said, if you lost it down the street, what are you doing here? He said, the light's better here. And it's like, we're looking in the wrong place. Why, if you're looking for God, you've got to look where God is. If you want to find God, you've got to be where God is, not someplace that's convenient for your flesh. Amen. And he says, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. So if I'm looking for the spiritual blessing, I've got to look to God. My dependence has got to be on him. I've got to lean on him in all my understanding and declare, I am blessed. I am blessed. Hallelujah. All good things happen to me. Amen. And boy, that is hard. That's as hard as getting some Christians to actually say and actually believe that God loves you. That's one of the hardest things to get people to understand. God loves you, even for believers. Well, I know theoretically he does. No, he loves you. If you were the last person on earth, Jesus would have died for you. Well, I know that, but I just don't feel. It's like, here we go back to something is wrong with your thinking because you're not accepting that God loves you. Well, how do I fix it? Believe that God loves you. If you have to look in the mirror every morning and say, God loves me. God loves me in the mess I'm in. He doesn't want to leave me in the mess, but God loves me here. See, it's the same. If you continue in the faith, if you continue in that, it's a daily thing. I've got to continue. I've got to make that decision. I'm going to walk in God. I'm going to walk in this. I'm going to walk in this understanding. I don't feel it yet. I don't understand it yet. I want to know the process. Don't worry about the process. But just believe that God loves you. Believe that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, you said spiritual. We just went through everything is spiritual. That's where reality is. Things in this world change. You can tell that in the news reports. You know, they'll give you one news report one day, and they'll spend hours talking about it. Get up the next morning. Well, everything we told you yesterday was wrong. What? I just believed it. It's like, well, that's why you shouldn't believe things. Isn't it amazing how gullible we are to the God of this world, and yet we refuse to acknowledge the God that we believe in? The God who saved us, the one who went to the cross for us, the one who was raised from the dead. We don't believe him near as much as we believe our next door neighbor. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Why do we believe them? What credibility do they have outside the Word of God and the Spirit of God? What credibility? None. And yet we are confused when it comes to whether we will believe God. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him. Now think about it. You are chosen. He chose you in him. Listen, before the foundation of the world, we've already talked about holy, blameless before him in love, without reproach. You've been chosen. See, it's not an accident. God didn't put your name in a hat and stir it all around and say, okay, I'm going to pick one to be holy. Oh, darn, it's not you. That's not how he does things. He chose every person born in the earth to be holy. He chose every person to be blameless. But if we don't react to him, we're going to be caught up in the things of the world. And the world says you are condemned. The world says you're a victim. The world says you'll never make it. The world says, well, here's a long list of all the things that are against you. Yes, that is right. But if God be for me, who can be against me? And I want you to know all those things you can quote about my birth, my upbringing, my heritage, those are all true. But if God be for me, what does it matter? And you find people in every walk of life, in every avenue, in every arena that had nothing going for them, that have prospered, that have been blessed because they realize that they're not going to let their past define them, but they're going to let their future. And our future is in Jesus Christ. Our future is in him whom we believe. That is our hope. That is our future. That is our destiny. What is behind was yesterday. It's gone. You know, the only way you can bring back yesterday is in your emotions. And the only way you do that is you sit and you meditate on what happened yesterday. I find that out with me. The more I meditate on what I lost, the more I hurt, the more I get depressed, the more upset I get. I have got to change my thinking and start looking at what lies ahead of me. The Bible tells you that. Forgetting the things that lie in the past, looking forward to the hope of the glory of God. Looking forward. That's what draws us. That is what compels us to look forward. You'll never go on a diet if you don't think you're going to lose weight. You'll never exercise if you don't think there's a benefit. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the suffering of the cross. You will never suffer anything till you see the joy. But Gordon, it's so hard to look at myself in the mirror and say that I'm lovely, that I'm of good report, that I'm holy, that I'm blameless. I know it's hard. I know you may feel like you're stupid sometimes for even doing that, but you need to do it, because without understanding the glory that you're entering into, you'll always be talked out of it. But Gordon, I'm a nobody. No, you're somebody in Christ. Because we just read God chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you. I mean, you could walk around, stick your fingers under the lapel on your coat. He chose me. You know, it's not a question. There's two teams of five people, and there's 11 people. So one isn't going to get chosen. That's not the way God is. You can walk around. I am chosen. He chose me. He selected me. He looked over all the earth and chose me. well, that's just arrogant. No, it's the truth. But I also don't say he chose everybody else too. But the Bible says, I am the apple of his eye. Now, apple is the very center. It's the lens, so to speak, that he sees everything through. And when he says, you're the apple of his eye, he's saying, everything I see, everything I created, everything I do is for your benefit. Think about Adam and Eve. He designed the whole earth for them. He didn't create them first and say, gee, I wonder if they need a possum. Maybe they need an antelope, maybe an acorn tree. Yeah, I think I'll do that for them. No, he created everything because they were the apple of his eye, and he created it specifically for them to be blessed, to enjoy, to live and be fruitful. He created it for them because they were the apple of his eye. And in the same way, when the Bible says you're the apple of his eye, God created everything for you to enjoy and to be blessed. Well, I just don't understand it. Well, looking at you, I don't either. But it doesn't change God. Amen. It doesn't change God. That's how highly favored we are with him. As humans, as believers, all we're doing is believing God. I can't do it. I can't give God a lens replacement and put me in the center so that when he puts a contact in, all he can see is me. I can't do that. But he did. And he's so awesome, so wonderful. He can do it for every single one of us and make us as the apple of his eye, that he designed everything around us that we would be blessed, that we would be strengthened, that we would have joy in our life. Oh, isn't that good? But so I've got to change my thinking that way. Because I don't know if you've noticed or not, that's not how the world thinks. But he has done this. Let's go on and see if we can get through a little bit. Verse 5, with having predestined us. Predestined means that God has a plan already set in motion. It's not predestination of where he's finalized the outcome. There's denominations that believe in predestination, some single, some double. Single is that some of you are bound to be saved no matter what you do. But others can join in if they want to. Double predestination is you are either going to heaven or hell, and God has already figured it out. So no matter if you're designated for hell, no matter what you do, you're going to hell. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter if you believe in God or not, because you are destined for hell and that's the end of it. There are others that in the same way, you're going to heaven. And it doesn't matter how many people you murder. It doesn't matter how many women you've raped, how many children you've molested. You are going to heaven and there's nothing you can do to alter it. That is not our God. Hallelujah. But he does have a plan for your life. That's why they use the word, he predestined us to adoption. Woo. See, he knew we had left him. He knew about sin. He knew about so God has provided a way to adopt us as sons. That's not a sexist word. Sons is a word of relationship because sons inherited what their father has. And in that way, we're sons. Because whatever God has, he's adopted us and brought us in, and he's given us his inheritance as adopted sons. Hallelujah. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. See, you didn't make God do it. He chose to do it. You're chosen from the foundation of the world. Why? Because God has a plan for you to become adopted as a son. It's his choice. It's his will. This is what God wants to do for us. It's not, again, I can't make him do it. I can't impress God enough with anything I do to impress him. He said, boy, you know, that Gordon's really a top-notch guy. I'm going to give him more blessing than anybody else look what he's done. Look at the Bible and some of the people that God has chosen, Jacob and Esau. Jacob robbed his brother of his birthright. Lied to his dad. Oh, these are really godly attributes, aren't they? You know, and finally, out of fear of his life, he ran away. And yet, God knew the future. He knew Esau wasn't going to serve him, but he knew Jacob would. Well, it didn't look that way right then, but he knew that Jacob would turn. And you know, he renamed Jacob. What did he rename Jacob?
Israel.
Ooh, Israel. When we talk about Israel, talk about the people of God, the chosen ones, the one that God is interceding for. All Israel, 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 Israel. No longer Jacob, no longer the trickster, no longer the huckster, no longer the con artist, but Israel. Israel, oh, the blessed of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So this is according to the good pleasure of his will. See, he had a plan for Esau. Esau wasn't going to follow it. And he knew that. He knew Esau wasn't going to follow. But, you know, he still blessed Esau. When Israel came back, Israel humbled himself after the experience with God. Israel humbled himself to his brother. And he said, you can take all my property, all these things. And remember what Esau said? Brother, I've got more than what I can take care of now. You keep this piddling stuff that you have. Wait a minute, I thought Israel was blessed. Esau was blessed. Because while Israel's out of town, Esau still got everything his father had. And he started out with the herd where Jacob had to build a herd. He started out with the herd and he was still blessed. God did not take a blessing away from Esau, but he just knew Jacob's going to follow me. Jacob's going to turn. Jacob's going to repent. And when he did, he had a plan. I'm going to adopt him as a son, and I'm going to change his name from Jacob to Israel. Ooh, glory be to God. Oh, man, this is good stuff. Hallelujah. Verse 6, we'll end here. To the praise of the glory of his grace. See, he does this to show his grace. The Bible talks about he picked the ones that were of no account. He picked the ones with no reputation. He chose them to become sons of God. Why? It displays his grace. Jesus said, I did not come for the healthy. I came for the sick. Why? The healthy don't need a physician. In other words, if everything is going so good in your life, you don't understand you have a need of God. You still have one. You just don't recognize it because everything is going good. But when you're at the bottom looking up, it's real easy to get religious. It's real easy to say, I need a Savior. I need someone to intervene in my life. And God says, I've already got a plan worked out. I've already got this method. I've already got the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man come to me, he will have eternal life, everlasting life. See, so I've got this plan for you. All you have to do is turn. All you have to do is come to me. But see, if you don't know you're sick, you'll never go to a doctor. If you never think that there's sin in your life or that sin doesn't mean anything, you won't come to God. But once you become aware of your short givings, you'll come to God and say, Father, save me, for I'm a sinner. And God will say, honey, I got the plan. I got it all worked out right here in my book. I've got it all planned. All you have to do is follow me. All you have to do is walk with me, and I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll direct you every step of the way. But you've got to make that decision to go with God. Amen. You've got to make that choice. I set before you this day life and death. Choose life that you may live. And he says, this is a praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He made you accepted in the beloved. He made, not you didn't do it. He has made us accepted in the beloved. This is all according to his plan. Jesus Christ, slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Well, we'll pick up here next week and we'll see how far we get, because there's more good things to come. But you understand what I'm saying? We've been bewitched because we don't believe what the Bible says about us. And to the contrary, we will argue ourselves into the cursing and avoid the blessing, because the church too long has thought, well, you're just proud. It's like, I'm proud of my daddy. I'm proud of what he has done for me, because by myself I can do nothing. But I'm proud of him. And if I'm going to boast about what my father has done. Amen. And we need to start bragging on him. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. My daddy loves me. I'm the apple of his eye. I am his heartbeat. Daddy doesn't go anywhere without thinking about me. Look at all that he's made just to profit me, just to bless me, all the good things that he's lined up to bring into my life. I am blessed. Hallelujah. I am blessed. And begin to walk according to that. To forgive others because we know we're forgiven, to begin to look to God. Lift up your eyes to the hills from whence our help comes. Lift our eyes up to God and look for him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you, God, for this great plan of salvation you have. Father, it supersedes anything that we could think or ask or imagine of your goodness toward us. Father, we're aware of who we are without you, but God, we thank you we're not without you. Father, we pray for our friends and our family. We pray for ourselves, God, that our minds would be renewed, that we would truly have faith in you and what you have done for us, that we could walk moment by moment every day of our life in everlasting life. To walk with you, God, to know you at work in us. Lord, that you have a plan for us that is yet to be fulfilled, and we're still growing in it. God, we give you praise. We give you honor, Lord, for all of these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you.